a lot of their offensive bats are struggling at the same time.
Yeah, it's true. It's been a really frustrating road trip. Maybe more frustrating for some fans than others, because it's easy to lose track of the fact that or lose sight of the fact that it's still a small chunk of the season, and that's baseball doesn't necessarily work the same way as other sports. If it was a hockey team that won one game over their previous out of their six, there would be cause for concern. That's sort of how that sport works. And baseball, it's just sometimes breaks don't happen. Sometimes it's just a matter of inches. And we saw, I thought especially in that game, where the Blue Jays came back and had that great ninth inning against Dylan Betances and then knocked him out of the game and had the bases loaded for Justin Smoke, who needed Trent Gartner needed every inch of the ballpark to make that catch. It could have really gone either way a number of times in that game and in a lot of games over these series where the Jays have just kind of come out on the short end of the stick. It's changed really quickly, but I think anybody who was watching should have really expected the fact that, it's going to be a fight the rest of the season. I've been saying that for a long time, and the Red Sox are good. Baseball ebbs and flows like that, so we're set for a fun stretch drive or a maddening stretch drive, depending on how you view it.
Well, Baltimore is definitely not going away. Some people thought when the Jays are up four on them, hey, you know what? Maybe Baltimore will go away, but they are still swinging the bats. Now, the Jays offense, they're a bunch of swingers. That's what they've been. They swing away. At some point, do you think it? Like a guy like Devin Travis, when they and I was yelling at my TV last night, I was like, here's a chance. Their offense has been terrible now for four games. Runners on first and second, no out. The defense was back. I was like, here's a good chance to bunt with his speed. He could have got on, and if not, you move up the runners. Are you surprised they never try to play small ball at all?
I am not, because I think that they know that small ball is not a winning formula for baseball, and I know that's not a traditional thing, and a lot of people will bristle at that idea, but, I mean, giving away outs is not good, and you can use the bunt in ways like that. If you're trying to bunt for a hit, you have a good opportunity to do it. I'm not saying never, ever bunt, but giving up outs and trying to play for a small number of runs rather than a big number of runs, it's just, over time, it doesn't really work for you. And it also isn't, the way these hitters are built, I think, a lot of the time. People are like, why aren't they trying for singles? Why aren't they doing this and that? It's like, well, because it's really hard to hit big league pitching, and these guys are going up with the approaches that have made them successful. Some people might want to debate how successful someone like, Melvin Upton or Justin Smoke have been, but they really have, had successful seasons to an extent, and careers are there. They're at least above replacement level players, and maybe Smoke is in the replacement level range. But these are guys who can put the bat on the ball, can make good things happen. I think it's a lot to ask somebody to really dramatically change their approach at this point in the season, just because things aren't really going the way, and they're not catching a lot of breaks, and the big innings aren't coming the way that we think that they can, the way that we've seen in the past they can. So. For me, I really wouldn't change anything. I mean, it may sound counterintuitive and frustrating to people, but I mean, I think that this offense is built to play in a way that they're really good at, in a way that's better than going out there trying to give away outs and advance runners and play for small innings. I think that this offense has been good for 2 years because they have sluggers and they have guys who can take walks. Some of them who will sell out for power too often, especially the Smokes and the Uptons of the world, guys who are kind of hacking away and just hoping to catch a piece of a ball. But that's their game, and I don't think it's fair to expect them to do anything too different. It's easy, I think, to get down on it at a time like this when they're not getting the results. But the season ebbs and flows, and I have all the confidence in the world that there's going to be games where they score a lot more runs than they have over the past few.
Oh, no, I definitely agree. I was just saying, every now and then surprise me. And the reason I bring it up, I remember Jose Bautista last year laying down the bunt and then shocked everybody, including me. And it was like, hey, sometimes you just got to outthink the opposition. And I felt with their defense so far back and Travis's speed, he wouldn't even have needed a good bunt. He probably just would have needed an average bunt, right? And then bases loaded, best case scenario. And then you're going to your meat of the order in Donaldson, Bautista, and Encarnacion. And, I would take that three with a guy on third base and one out over probably, any 1-2-3 order on any other team in the league.
I think that's true. But, I mean, a bunt's not an automatic hit either.
No, definitely not.
We've seen a lot of Blue Jays over the years who have a lot of trouble laying down bunts. I think people have definitely noticed that. I'm not sure that Travis is one who would have a struggle with that, but you know, I understand why he would do it the other way for sure. I see the point, but I'm generally opposed to small ball, so I'm okay with the Blue Jays.
Now,
keeping on.
Andrew Stoughton from BlueJaysNation.com joins us. Obviously, it's getting into crunch time. We see John Gibbons announce early in a week, which he hadn't done very often, his pitching rotation for the weekend coming off the off day. They'll move Dickey out of the series against Boston, which obviously makes a lot of sense. And, you know, this Jays team has come up big in previous games. Looking at the matchup specifically, you know, you look at is there a pitcher, do you think, that the Jays have a much better chance against this weekend in this Boston series?
I think it's probably Eduardo Rodriguez. I know they've tagged him at least a couple times in his career so far. Clay Buchholz is getting a start on Sunday against Aaron Sanchez. I think that bodes well for the Jays as well, except the Jays sometimes have trouble against guys you think that they should be able to solve. And I don't know that that's necessarily just a Blue Jays thing, or if it's that we notice it more, because I know that I obviously follow them more closely than anybody else. But yeah, I think there's a good chance Buchholz has a 5 ERA. He's he's been shifted back and forth from the bullpen to the rotation. He's not having a good year. Then sometimes you see him come out and have a great start. But I really think it's Rodriguez, the left-hander, going up against this fellow lefty Jay Happ on Saturday. That's one where the Jays they should do better in that game than they did against the Yankees. That's for sure. And the Jays avoid David Price. They get Rick Porcello tomorrow night as well. So it's the series is set up well for them. They just have to go out there and actually execute, which has obviously been the problem of late.
Now, were you surprised the Red Sox didn't move their rotation around so they would get Price?
Not terribly. I mean, I don't know. Maybe I'm just looking too much at the way that the Jays are moving guys around in their rotation because of the six-man thing. But, I mean, it's not a typical thing. And late in the season, if you have an off day, you might not rush to get guys extra innings, put extra innings on their arm and bump them up just because you have the opportunity to. I mean, I think there's a lot of value in having the rest as well. And unfortunately, as much as I hate to say it, they're in the driver's seat right now. They control their own fate, and so they can maybe ease up a little bit in terms of doing stuff like that. Or the Blue Jays are maybe a touch more desperate. Boston's played really well in the second half. I mean, if you look through, I was tweeting about this, or I wrote about this earlier today. If you look at wins above replacement for position players, Boston is the best team in baseball in the second half. And if you look at wins above replacement for pitchers, Boston has been the best team in the second half. So it's kind of understandable that they're just sticking with the status quo and are relying on the fact that they're just naturally going to make it difficult for the teams around them. And so the Blue Jays, they have to step up. And I think a sign that they understand that is the fact that they've set up their rotation the way that it is, with Sanchez getting moved up and going on regular rest on Sunday.
Andrew Stoughton from BlueJaysNation.com. Of all the September call-ups, who do you think is going to have the biggest impact this month, if any of them?
As much as I'm talking about how I'm not, super into small ball, there's a Dalton Pompey we saw last year really had an impact, I think, as a pinch runner, as a guy who, when everybody in the building knew he was going to steal a base, he still did it anyway. He had that kind of speed and those kind of reads on the pitchers. And I think that can be a huge thing for the Jays, and can really change the dynamic late in the game. That kind of speed, and it's something that they have guys like Carrera and Upton who've been here most of the year, or Upton a little bit less than most of the year, but guys with speed. But Pompey is on another level, so I think he's really the guy. But also some of the relievers might have a chance to step it up as well. We've seen the bullpen look a little less solidified in the last few games. It doesn't help when Jason Grilley, who's been so terrific, has struggled in two of his last three outings. So a guy like Danny Barnes, I think a lot of people are really intrigued to see what he does. He's had a great season in the minor leagues, striking out a ton of guys and not walking anybody. And so that's the kind of stuff that bodes well, even though, you're going up to a level where it's completely different in terms of the quality of hitters. But I think he's a guy who they'll probably give a long look to, especially if they get some breathing room in games and hopefully in the standings as well as the month goes on. And so he's a guy who could legitimately make the playoff roster, I think, and so that would constitute a big impact. But really, I think it's Dalton Pompey who would be on the playoff roster for sure, I think, at this point, just because of his speed. And you know, he'll make a lot of fun situations out of nothing, you know, at the end of some games. So it's a great thing, I think, for September baseball and beyond.
Grilly was a fantastic story all season long. The emotion he'd bring on the mound was great. Guys loved him. His last two starts, you know, maybe it's kind of the ebb and flow of a season, but have his last two performances, you know, he gave up some big runs. Is that a concern at all, or do you just think it's one of those eventually a reliever's going to get hit hard?
I mean, I think it has to be a little bit of a concern, right? I mean, you can't let him keep doing that if those are the results that come. But I don't think anything has necessarily changed in terms of, you know, the quality of his stuff or his velocity. I think those are maybe just things that happened. But if there's something going on there where, you know, it's not belied by the fact that his stuff looks the same in terms of velocity and you know, the break and everything like that, I think that could be an area of concern for them for sure. I'm not ready to lay that on him just yet. I mean, I think as good as he performed, he deserves a bit of a break if he has a couple bad outings. And he's, you know, he's been so key for this team all summer long. But if it happens another couple of times, you definitely have to start looking at other guys to maybe take that role and to shift things around a little bit. And, you know, Biagini's been really good and Benoit's been good, and maybe that's a decision they'll have to make or have to at least consider. But I think for now, you got to leave him where he is and expect that things are going to get back to normal for him.
What's your thoughts on the series? Do the Jays win the series, lose it? What happens?
I like the way the pitching sets up for them. So I'll say that they win it. I mean, I'm a homer, so I wouldn't say that they lose it. I think it would be it's going to be tough. It's going to be fun. If they do lose it, if they do get swept, it's not going to be the end of the world. There's still a lot of games left. It would be a tough pill to swallow, though, and it would really put them in a tough spot going forward. So it is. It's a really big series, and, you know, I try to be nonchalant about losses, but every loss matters. Losses in April matter just as much as ones here, but, you know, you really see it and feel it in the standings every time, you know, they lose. And these last, you know, 5 or 6 games have been real ugly and really frustrating. And a lot of people are just waiting to exhale and have them, you know, win a nice, easy game and maybe, you know, catch up to the Red Sox in the standings and get a little breathing room. And I think that that's probably what's in store this weekend. But we don't know until they play the games.
Well, let's just hope it's not a repeat performance of 1987. Now, that one still stings for me. Those final 7 games were awful to watch.
They were. I don't even want to say the year.
Yeah,
it's
terrifying.
That
was brutal. Enjoy the weekend, Andrew.
You too. Thank you very much.